the freedom we still have to do that. We need to pray for our officials, our leaders, and Lord, that we continue to have the freedom that we have to be able to openly share the Christ story. And God, we just praise that you continue to allow us that freedom for as long as we can. And God, that we pray for a reprieve in our world, Lord, that we will be able to see your hand move in a direction that will definitely be able to share the truth even more in different ways. And God, we just thank you for that. And Father, as we gather tonight, I pray you just, again, quiet our hearts and open our minds. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, we're going to go back into Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're coming to the end of a section tonight as we're looking at this. And in the realms of understanding this, we started this section, and the section talks about how no one knows what will happen to them or to us. We don't have any idea. And we saw in this section, I thought it was very important that as we highlight the fact that God works with sinners and saved alike. God is using sinners and saved alike. And everything happens to saved and sinners alike. We don't have any special privileges that we're going to walk away through this broken world any different. We're going to be broken. We're going to be affected by this world. We're going to be affected by all that stuff. And so when we put this into a section, a category, I think Solomon brought it out in a very interesting way, I think a very good way, that really the more we plan for, and I read something I thought it was very unique, fear doesn't stop death, but it stops life. And you think about that for a minute. The fear that we have, it's not going to stop anything that's coming your way. It's not going to stop what's going to happen outside the realm of your life. It's going to come. Don't fear it. But what fear does take, fear takes away the life that you can live because you stop living. You become so fearful you can't live or don't live as you used to. And worrying does not take away the troubles of tomorrow. It takes away the peace for today. So in that mindset, if you think of those two phrases, you know, worrying doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. And so we need to live. And I think this section, Solomon had it really, really well because he encouraged to labor. He encouraged to live. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what is going on. So when you have the day, how God has enabled you, we saw in the verses, how God has enabled you, you need to just do it. And you need to do it as much as you can. And I always tell individuals that ask me about, there's a lot of people, you know, I'm tired of all this. You know, this has got to end soon and all this. I say, listen, the philosophy is this. You do all you can while you can for as long as you can, and God will take care of the rest. And I really think that's what Solomon's trying to teach us in this text. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep working diligently. We need to enjoy life. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's hard to enjoy life is when everybody else around you is so negative and everybody else around you is moping around and everybody else around you is so fearful. And so, again, fear doesn't stop death, but it does stop life. And so if you think of those few things, when we get into the study tonight, we're going to look at the last part of this section, because then after this, we're going to get into next week that no one knows whether our wisdom will even work. And I love Corinthians when God says he takes the wise of this earth and makes them fools, and the foolishness of this earth and he makes them wise. Saying the exact same thing Solomon's saying. God will enable us. God will give us everything we need to be able to live out his calling. If you know what God has called you to do, and by the way, that's a calling for everyone. We all have a common calling. And that common calling is when we're saved, we share Christ with people. We live Christ among people. That's a common calling we all have. And God will enable us to do that. That's why you hear when life hits us, that we, yes, we'll fall down because we are human, but Christians, we can get right back up because he strengthens us and he allows us, he enables us. And I can't stress enough the fact that we as Christians have fallen into this realm of not living the life God really wants us to live. And I'm not talking doing bad. I'm just saying we don't have any excitement. We don't have any joy. We don't have any, man, I'm glad to be alive today because God has given me another day. And so I think somehow we got caught up in all this craziness about fearfulness and about what we're going on. And I mentioned last week, if their tactic is to get us fearful, they've won on both ends. You fear the shot or you fear the vaccination or you fear the COVID. Either way, you've got people fearing all directions. And so it's ironic to the fact that the Bible speaks so clearly that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but the power of God. There's a reason why Scripture says, don't fear. Because I believe God knew that if we feared, fear would control us. And so when Solomon comes down to the end, and we're looking at verse 10 tonight, just one verse tonight, we saw, again, the beginning of this, that no one knows what will happen to him. In fact, let's look at verse 1 really quickly. Verse 1 of chapter 9 sort of summarizes. It says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love nor hatred by all that is before him. Basically, you have no idea what that person's going to say or do. You have no idea what that event is going to do in your life. You don't know what that phone call from the doctor is going to say. And because of all that, we have the ability now, as Solomon sums it up in there, going down into verse 10, and basically he ends this with labor diligently, or while you can. There's something that's expected of you and I. And I think God has every right to expect something from you and I. He created us. He redeemed us. He's sustaining us. He's empowered us. And he says, I've done all these things for you. Now, here's what I expect from you. And so I think it's important. I just wanted to really slow down and not want to jump into another section tonight just to look at this verse 10. Because I think if we look at it, we're going to read it and then we'll tear it apart. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. And again, as he mentioned before, it's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. In this section, Solomon says again, you only have, while you're living, the opportunity to do anything. When you're dead, you're dead. As I studied through that verse, one of the areas of commentaries simply said, this does not mean that those who died are in a soul sleep. I guess some individuals have taken this verse and said, well, there you have it. When somebody dies, that verse simply says there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in a grave. Therefore, they're just sleeping it out, sleeping it off. And I don't believe that's true. Nowhere in the scriptures do you find any of them. The three apostles that were translated, they basically saw Elijah, Moses. They saw things going on. And even when you have Lazarus and the rich man, they were conversing, they were talking, there was things going on. So it doesn't mean that it's soul sleep. But what Solomon is trying to say, he's not speaking to the dead here. He's speaking to the living. And he's speaking to the living that are acting like they're dead. Because they're just not doing life. They're not living life the way God intended them. So let's look at this a little bit. Because as he encourages us to enjoy life as God enabled us in the section before that, Solomon now is encouraging to work diligently. Is there a difference between just working and working diligently? Is there a difference of just getting it done and doing it well? You see, we need to understand when we do things for God, we don't just do the work, we do it diligently. We just don't do it to get it done, we do it well. And I think God speaks through this all through scriptures. Colossians 3:23, do everything you do it as you do it unto the Lord. Do it all for him. And I know I've heard this all my life, and I'm sure you've heard it all your life, about how we need to do things to our best, and we need to do them for God. And when you go to work, just think that your God's the employer and work for that guy like you're working for God. And those are all very true statements. But the problem is that at times, we haven't connected that with our reality, with how we actually do work. So when Solomon hears, again, simply says in verse 10 that we need to work whatever our hand finds to do. Notice how it says whatever your hand finds to do, or means basically whatever you're able to do. It doesn't click a paycheck with that. It doesn't click a job to that. And one of the things that I've found very interesting, and I told my kids growing up, play Cinderella, if the shoe fits, wear it, okay? So one thing I find interesting is that when we're in winter, and we close the church down when it's really bad, that's fine. But we won't put as much effort into coming to church on a bad day as we would making sure we got to work to punch the clock. Because why? You get paid if you punch the clock. Coming to church is just an option, right? See, we've got this mindset that when we do things for God, we just do them to get them done. And I tell you, I've noticed more and more as I'm out in the world a little bit, more and more every day, how nobody likes to follow through. They'll start things and they don't follow through. You know, you've got sidewalks half cleaned. You've got roads that are they're too narrow. You can't even get through. It's everywhere. So this verse, I think, speaks highly to where we're at today. Because whatever God finds our hands to do, or whatever we're able to do, Solomon gives a very clear understanding how we are to do it. And it says again in that verse, do it with thy might. Do it with all that you have. And so again, referring back to Colossians 3:23, everything that we do, we need to do it as we do it unto the Lord. So that means everything we do, everything we have. And I just want you to think for a minute and try to really dice that down. And think through your day today, all the things you did. Hopefully you did more than one or two things today. And everything that you've done, could you actually say that you did your best and you put all you were into everything you did? Your work, your Bible time, your time with God, how you handled yourself, how you talk to people, everything we do in life. If Solomon says everything that we're able to do, and the interesting thing is in the verses preceding this, he simply said God enables us to do a lot. So he already set us up for this verse, knowing that God has enabled us to be able to do it. And he simply says at that point that we need to do it with all our might. Basically, we need to expend all of our energies. Now, I was in school and we were talking a little bit about reading and writing and arithmetic, and those are strange languages to our schools today. But when we were doing those things, they always tried to get the senses, you know, the eyes, the ears, the mouth. The more you could get all of the sensory involved in learning, the learning actually happened. And I think Solomon has the same idea that he's saying about our work. When we put all of our energies into it, so are you thinking? Are you looking? Are you aware of what's around you? Are you helping others in the process? Are you doing it for your own glory, or are you doing it because it needs done and you helping others in the process? So I tell you, when I started studying this and really diced it down, we could put every step we take every day in the concept of that verse. When I talk to this person, am I paying attention? Am I putting all my energies into that moment? Or am I out in la-la land somewhere worrying about something else instead of paying attention? Or when I'm doing any kind of work, again, do I do it just to get it done? Check the box. We become box checkers instead of those who follow through for the glory of God. Because God's the one, if we are children of God, and you and I are doing something, and people around you know that you are saved, and you do something, and you do it in a way that they look at and say, really? Why even bother? That's a poor testimony of the Christ that's in you, let alone for you. Until people can look past of some of the things that we do to see the Christ that's in us, man, we're in trouble. So Solomon, I think, has got a really good handle on this. And again, why wouldn't he? He lived all his life with everything he ever had, says it's all vanity, but also because, and again, the reasoning is we need to do it with all our might, expanding all of our energies. And the reason that he's even saying this advice is that when death comes, opportunities are done. The person you wanted to try to talk to about Christ, you ain't going to do it. The one thing you wanted to try to accomplish, you ain't going to get it done. The things that you meant to do but hadn't done, not going to happen. It's like when you start thinking about it, how many things do you have planned that you want to accomplish? I'd call it a bucket list, but that goes back to checking the boxes, so it's not a bucket list. Just things that you want to accomplish, things that you want to get done. You know, and how many, you know individuals, well, you know, we was going to do this together, then one of them gets sick or one of them die, and now we can't do this, or we was going to get everything in order, but we didn't have time to get it in order. Well, you had plenty of time to get it in order. You just didn't do it until there was no time. And Solomon's saying, listen, we need to wake up. Even how we live our life, how we plan our life, how we organize and prioritize the things in our life needs to be done with all of our energies. It needs to be done. Why? Because we glorify God. Plus, you can't do it anymore once you're dead. And as he puts that into perspective, again, he pretty much spells that out. We don't have opportunities to work. Service will cease because basically in the death of a person, there's no energies or abilities to work as we know it. And I'm not going to say, I honestly can't take you to a verse that says this is exactly what they're all doing right now in heaven. I don't have that verse. I know that they are in the presence of God. I know that they are at the bosom of Christ. They are with God. What they're doing with God, he didn't want us to know. Because if he wanted us to know the answers to that, when he translated those three to heaven and back, Paul even translated seeing the glory of God, and he buffeted their minds so they could not speak of what they seen. God doesn't want us to know. And that, is that okay that you don't know? Sometimes. Sometimes. Because we like to think all these things are going on. I don't know. I'm not saying they're not. I just can't take you to a verse and say, this is what's going on. What Solomon is saying is we don't have the opportunity to do the work of the Lord here that he's left us to do once we're gone. And interesting, as we studied through, again, verses 1 through 10 or 1 through 9, also in there, it simply said that, you know, once you die, shortly you will not be remembered. So, you know, all the things that we've done in this life, all the things, all the people we've touched, all the, they're going to remember that, right? Probably not. We're not, and I think, if I can say this in a crazy way, I don't think we're supposed to always remember the ones who are gone in a way that stops us from living in today. Now, I deal with a lot of grief, and we've dealt with a lot of people through grief share and everything else. And there are some who are desirous so much of something or someone they've lost that they can't live in today. They don't know how to live in today. They don't know how to work through. They don't know how to, and when I say move on, I'm not saying move on and leave behind, but they don't know how to live life anymore. And it's unbelievable how many times I've run into people who just don't want to go on with the different. They don't like the new norm, and they don't want the new norm. And so when you put that into perspective, I think what God is saying through Solomon here is that the working, the planning, the knowledge, the wisdom, that's all gone. That's all gone. And I'm thinking as we sort of pull this into perspective and close with this tonight, when Solomon brings this to our attention, I think we are so busy with so many things, we don't have enough of all of our energy to put into the right things. We've got so many things going on in our life, so many different areas and so many different concepts and so many different people. And there's just so much going on in our life that we can't really put all of our energies into it. And I always joke around saying, you know, you got to keep working and work hard because earth isn't for rest. Heaven's for rest. You work until God takes you home. Solomon is saying that same thing. There's no retirement in God's work. There's no, I've done my turn, I can sit down and take a break. No, you can't. Because as soon as you take a break, you're going to walk away from the call. You're not going to put your energies into it. You're not going to diligently complete what you have. God may use you in different places and different things, but God's never asked us to stop. Diligently, while you have life, put it all in there. Give it all, 100%, all of your energies to God. I'm going to tell you, when we do that, I think God is going to be able to use us for one of the greatest reasons, basically, is because people are going to see a difference in our life. People are going to see something that brings them hope or that brings them that joy, or there's some strength in you that I need and I want. And boy, that opens up the opportunity to share Christ so many times. So I think Solomon's bringing this section because we do not know what is going to happen to us. But until then, we sing that song all the time. Until then, my heart will go on singing. While your lips need to go on speaking about Christ too. You need to keep working diligently, glorifying God in all we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. And Father, I pray as we look at it and realize the importance in our life, that this is something that is just not a good idea. But God, Solomon, and